Hello everybody, it's Lupin. Last week I forgot to upload one of my weekly rambles, and I figured to make up for it, I'd read you a selection of my favorite poems. Now, if you know me at all, you probably know that I often say that I hate poetry, which I stand by. I had to read a lot of poetry when I was in college, and I couldn't stand the way that people dissected and analyzed every line. And I also am not very much of a Shakespeare fan, and I've had this correlation between people who enjoyed poetry and people who tried to shove Shakespeare down my throat. So, I am not a poetry fan. I am also not a fan of boats. Fuck off, boat. Anyway, but I do have quite a few poems that I'm a fan of. I'm actually more than a fan of, that I love, and some are tattooed on my body even. I'll leave which one's a mystery, but I figured I'd read a few for you. And of course, who can resist doing a little bit of whispering while we're at it, right? Starting off, I think we should start with Robert Frost. He's one of my absolute favorite poets. I love Robert Frost. I'm very, very fond of American poetry over English or any other country. American poetry has some kind of draw to me, and Robert Frost is probably my favorite American poet. So, the first poem I'd like to read is Nothing Gold Can Stay. I'm sure many of you guys have heard it before. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaves a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. It's such a succinct poem, with obvious meanings and then many that you can subtract, deduct, retract, contract, many that you can deduce from different lines. So that is probably my favorite Robert Frost poem. Another Robert Frost, Robert Frost poem that I am very fond of is Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and a downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. probably the first poet that I love. I very vividly remember checking out a book of Emily Dickinson poetry when I was in fifth grade, I think. I think it was fifth grade, based on the school I was in. And I fell in love with this poem. I've had it memorized since fifth grade. It's very short. It's not that impressive, but just there's something about it that has always drawn to me. Something about the rhythm and the relatability when you're a child. I think it definitely was something I connected to when I was young. So the one that I'll be reading today, it's my favorite of hers, is I'm Nobody. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. To tell one's name, the livelong tune, to an admiring pog. I'm going to read it again because I love it so much. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. To tell one's name, the livelong tune, to an admiring bog. Such a beautiful poem. And again, another American poet. Yes, it's very obvious. All right. Another American poet. Oh, maybe I'll save this one for last. This is the longest one. The next two are quite long in comparison, but they're my favorites. I'll go ahead and do this one. I'll do this one right now. Another American poet who I am very fond of, who is right behind Frost, I would say, is Walt Whitman. I love Walt Whitman. And my favorite Walt Whitman poem is Pioneers. Oh, Pioneers. So, I'll go ahead and read that one for you now. Come, my tan-faced children. Follow well in order. Get your weapons ready. Have you your pistols? Have you your sharp-edged axes? Pioneers. Oh, pioneers. For we cannot tarry here. We must march, my darlings. We must bear the brunt of danger. We, the youthful, sinewy races, all the rest on us depend. Pioneers. Oh, pioneers. Oh, you youths, western youths. So impatient, full of action, full of manly pride and friendship. Plain, I see you, western youths, see you tramping with the foremost. Pioneers, oh, pioneers. Have the elder races halted? Do they droop and end their lesson, wearied over there beyond the seas? We take up the task eternal, and the burden and the lesson. Pioneers, oh, pioneers. All the past we leave behind. We debouch upon a newer, mightier world, varied world. Fresh and strong the world we seize. World of labor and the march. Pioneers, oh, pioneers. We detachment steady throwing. Down the edges, through the passes, up the mountain steep. Conquering, holding, daring, venturing, as we go the unknown ways. Pioneers, oh pioneers, we primeval forest felling, with the river stemming, vexing we and piercing deep the mines within. We the surface broad surveying, we the virgin soil upheaving. Pioneers, oh pioneers, Colorado men are we, from the peaks gigantic to the great Sierras and the high plateaus, from the mine in the gully, from the hunting trail we come. waving high the delicate mistress over all the starry mistress. Bend your heads all. Raise the faint and warlike mistress, stem and passive weaponed mistress. Pioneers, oh pioneers. See, my children, restless children. By the swarms upon our rear, we must never yield or falter. Ages back and ghostly millions frowning there behind us, urging. Pioneers, oh pioneers. On and on the compact race, with existence ever waiting, with the places of the dead quickly filled, through the battle, through defeat, moving yet and never stopping. Pioneers, oh pioneers. Oh, to die advancing on. Are there some of us to droop and die? Has the hour come? Then upon the march we fittest die, soon and sure the gap is filled. Pioneers, oh pioneers. All the pulses of the world falling in, they beat for us with the Western movement beat, holding single or together, steady moving to the front, all for us. Pioneers, oh pioneers. Life's involved in very pageants, all the forms and show, all the workmen at their work, all the seamen and the landsmen, all the masters with their slaves, oh pioneers, oh pioneers. All the hapless song lovers, all the prisoners in the prison, all the righteous and the wicked, all the joyous, all the sorrowing, all the living, all the dying. Pioneers, oh pioneers. I too, with my soul and body, we, a curious trio, picking, wandering on our way. Though these shores amid the shadows, with the apparitions pressing, pioneers, oh pioneers. These are of us, these are with us, all for primal needed work, while the followers there in embryo wait behind. We today procession heading, we the route for travel clearing, pioneers, oh pioneers. Oh, you daughters of the West, oh, you young and elder daughters, oh, you mothers and you wives, never must you be divided, in our ranks you moved united. Pioneers, oh, pioneers. Minstrels latent on the prairies, shrouded bars of other lands, you may rest, you have done your work. Soon I hear you coming, warbling, soon you rise and tramp amid us, pioneers, oh, pioneers. Not for delectation sweet, not for the cushion and the slipper, not the peaceful and the studious, not the rich safe and falling, not for us to tame enjoyment. Pioneers, oh pioneers. To the feasters gluttonous feast, to the corpulent sleepers sleep, have they locked and bolted doors, still be ours and diet hard, and the blanket on the ground. Pioneers, oh pioneers. Has the night descended, was the load of late so toilsome? Did we stop, discouraged, nodding on our way? Yet a passing hour, I yield you in your tracks to pause oblivious. Pioneers, oh pioneers. Till with sound of trumpet, far, far off the daybreak call. Hark, how loud and clear I hear it, wind. Swift to that of the army, swift, sprint to your places. Very long one, but for me, that poem, even though it obviously contains some elements of a time that they didn't have respect for everybody, they didn't have respect for all races, they didn't have respect for all placements in life, they still kept slaves and they still treated women, you know, poorly. I feel that even in that time, where he may not have had the best of the most modern of thoughts in comparison to us, even in that time, I feel like that poem puts out so much equality. Even if, I mean, of course, women never would have thought of everyone as equal just due to the times, but I just feel like we can read in so much quality show of all of us burning with passion and moving forward and protecting us as a human race, and thriving with us as a human race. Maybe he wouldn't have seen it that way, but I do, and I just love it because of that. The next one is probably one you have more familiarity with, maybe the most popular poem on this list, and it was not an American poet. The next one that I have is The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe is one of my favorite poets, and The Cask of Amontillado is one of my favorite short stories. I almost read The Cask of Amontillado, but I decided that I would stick with poems. So, The Raven. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "Some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "Only this, and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it. It was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore. For the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I must implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that scarce was I sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dreamed to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then, and what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat harder than he uttered, not one feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what to others is only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom's unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope and melancholy burden bore, of never, never more." But the raven still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking "Nevermore." This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated over. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating over, she shall press "Nevermore." Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkered on the tufted floor. "Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee, by the angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite, and empathy from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind empathy, and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land I enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore." "Said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a saintly maiden whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Be that our word and sign in parting, bird or shrinked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as token of that lie thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust upon my door. Take thy beak from out thy heart, and take thy form from off my door." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon that is dreaming, and the lamplight over him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted.